Blog Talk Radio.
In 331, Alexander the Great defeated the Persians. He died young, too. He was a great general, one of the greatest military strategists in all of history. Of course, General George S. Patton will come up later in the show. He's another great military strategist, very learned man, and had his flaws as well. In 1800, this is not well known, Spain secretly ceded in the treaty of Louisiana to France, and then, of course, Jefferson negotiated a deal to buy Louisiana. It was the biggest purchase of land owned by a European power before the Mexican War, in which we won, and which we paid Mexico for Texas, New Mexico, Arizona. In 1869, the first postcards were made, were printed up, and it was in Vienna, Austro-Hungary Empire. They were lousy soldiers, but they did come up with a lot of creative things. Sigmund Freud in psychiatry, the great musicians, Gustav Mahler, a lot of our conductors came from Austria-Hungary. Eric Kleiber, and that whole area of Czechoslovakia also, Raphael Kubelik, Dvorak, a lot of rich history from Middle Europa, besides postcards. Getting back to the mail, in 1885, the United States first established special delivery for the post office. We no longer have that now. It's primary or overnight mail. And guess what a car cost in 1908 when Henry Ford came out with the Model T? $825. Add two zeros past that, and it'll be $82,500 for some of these vehicles today. In 1936, General Francisco Franco set up the state of Spain. He had defeated the Republicans, which were backed by the communists, primarily Russia, and the Abraham Lincoln Brigade. And Francisco, it's interesting, he reportedly has Jewish Sephardic ancestry. In 1939, getting back to wars, Churchill made this statement on Russia. It's a riddle wrapped inside a mystery, inside an enigma, and people still can't figure out the Russians and Putin even today. In 1948, the California State Supreme Court voided the ban on interracial marriages. and that meant that the Chinese could not marry whites. Filipinos were denied the right to marry whites, although after World War II, everybody's, or later, after this 1948 decision, there was a lot of relationships that were consummated or were legally consummated. In 1949, and this is relevant today with all this unrest in Hong Kong, Mao declared the People's Republic of China, Red China, mainland China. Chiang Kai-shek had been defeated in the field by Mao Zedong, so he fled to Formosa. Now, the Formosans claimed that they were independent of China. China has always looked at Formosa or Taiwan as a traditional province of China, as they looked at viewed Nepal and those other areas in the Himalayas. Now, Chiang Kai-shek fled to Taiwan. We backed him, and he or what's called Formosa is now Taiwan, and we have Taiwanese Chinese. And the only reason that China hasn't crossed the straits there is because our Navy has prevented that. In 1962, James Meredith became the first black to enroll and enter at the University of Mississippi, known as Ole Miss. In 1979, this is very relevant because it's the Carter administration and it's his birthday today, the United States returned the canal zone to Panama, but not the canal. I understand the Chinese communists own the canal now. Now, among the other issues today, it's come up with Bill O'Reilly, whose father supposedly was a U.S. Navy captain. Now, O'Reilly's been criticized for stating, I haven't heard the statement directly, but this goes back to a 1988 book by author James Wilcox. Was General George S. Patton assassinated? It was certainly a mysterious death. Now, it's known that he was in a car crash. Prior to that car crash, he had ran his third army all across Europe into Czechoslovakia and into Austria, and he blocked the Russians for the time being. And he also saved one of the finest breeds of horses, the Lipizzaners. I did an interview with Captain Helmberger of the Vienna, the Spanish Riding Academy, we did mention Patton, so I have to transfer that tape from tape to a disc and MP3. So we'll do that. Hopefully we'll have that ready Friday. Excuse me. So that's just cold. But anyway, Patton had made a lot of outrageous statements and did some outrageous things, like he slapped that soldier when the soldier was suffering from shell shock, and Eisenhower was furious. The American press, even though Patton was a military hero, the American press wanted Patton removed, but he was such a great general, and he saved the Americans at Bastogne, the Battle of the Bulge, and he saved those horses, and he made statements like, why was he? He was going to use German officials, ex-Nazi officials, or newly rehabilitated Nazi officials to run the civil government in the newly occupied, defeated Germany. And his reasoning was, we don't have anybody else to run the electric power, the systems. Now, General Philip Berrigan, who I also interviewed, we had that interview, and who was over there doing sanitary work. He was deputy commander at D-Day, Normandy, with the Mulberry barges. he did know Patton when Patton, but they were both stationed in Hawaii. But Patton made the statement about the Russians, and this really upset the American political establishment. They didn't want to prolong another war in Europe, and certainly not to get involved in a war with Russia at that time. And Patton said, look, the Russians don't belong here. We've got the army over here. Let me start a war and kick their butts back into Russia where they belong. And everybody was horrified, reportedly even James Donovan, who was the head of the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services, the predecessor to the Central Intelligence Agency. Now, in the history of Patton, in the history of World War II, General Walter Bedell Smith was the was the chief of staff for Eisenhower in Europe, and he thought George Patton went nuts and lost it. So did several other people. And it's interesting because after World War II, when the United States set up the Central Intelligence Agency, Walter Bedell Smith was the first director. Now, there was this car crash, it was a Cadillac, believe it or not, that crashed into this a truck crashed into this Cadillac, which was chauffeuring General Patton. Patton, I think he broke his neck. Now, there's a claim that this guy, I forgot his name because it's the first time it's come up recently. He was a Lebanese Jew. He worked with the Jedbugs, which was a special secret military operations group operated out of England. This guy was Lebanese Jews, and he was supposed to have assassinated General Patton, killed him while Patton was recovering or trying to recover from the auto crash. Now, we don't know. There's a claim that before this guy died, it was his diaries were found. These things, stranger things have happened. Pope John Paul I, who succeeded Paul VI, threatened and was going to order an audit of the Vatican Bank. He died mysteriously within, I think it was 2 months after he was crowned Pope. And, of course, there were a lot of strange things happening at that same time, people who were also involved in World War II. The Blackfriar Bridge, one of the bankers was found, Calvi, I think, was found hanging from a Blackfriars Bridge in London. A lot of money still hasn't been found that had been laundered through the Vatican Bank. And remember, the Vatican Bank has ambassadors and financial connections all over the world, and so it's very easy to launder money. And it was not unusual for some priests, bishops, monsignors, cardinals to be doing things that were not Christ-like. It certainly wasn't an imitation of Christ, let's put it that way. So it's going to be very interesting to pursue this, but the book did come out, I think it was 1988 or 1998, this is before O'Reilly, but it's still very relevant because it's interesting. People have been, put it this way, terminated with extreme displeasure who were causing major problems and could have caused wars or other events that the world could not tolerate, let's put it that way, certain political and financial interests. Now, I talk about media morons. Who are the media morons? Media morons are those individuals in the press, the fourth estate, so-called. These are individuals who lie, who distort, who omit, and cover up. They engage in censorship and misconduct. For instance, we keep hearing about Matthew Shepard, who's gay lesbian NAMBLA media people have politically canonized as a victim of a hate crime, and he was viciously murdered. Well, it took a gay famous author to spend 15 years investigating the Matthew Shepard case in Wyoming and found all kinds of things, like the kid was involved as a methamphetamine drug dealer. He raped an 18-year-old child. And from what our perspective, he looked like a spoiled brat. But there was another Shepard case, a young college student, white kid, who was found by, I think it was Pennsylvania police. He was found nude, wrapped in a sheet. He had been raped and drugged and murdered. But we didn't hear about this in the same press that canonized Matthew Shepard. Among the other media fictions and political fictions that is it's being revved up or ramped up even now is that only females get raped. But we are finding out now, people are saying, hey, males used to be very reticent about this because it was embarrassing. It threatened psychologically. It was very devastating to their psyche. They weren't believed that males don't get raped or males can fight back. That was until the so-called passage of this, what is called, gay panic law that Jerry Brown just signed, which is we think is unconstitutional and will not withstand a federal judicial review when one of these cases comes up, when some straight kid had been drugged and he gets into a fight with his male rapist and the male rapist gets injured or killed. And then there's a trial and conviction of the victim, and the guy appeals. It's going to be very interesting. I predict that's going to happen if it already hasn't. Now, we have more and more male rape victim cases are being publicized. The most interesting one, it just came across the wire from the New China Press, which talks about a Taiwanese Chinese who traveled back and forth. And those Chinese can travel back and forth from Taiwan, Formosa to Red China, mainland China. And this guy was middle-aged, he was in his 40s. He had raped about 40 young Chinese males, drugged them, and in one case, one died from the drugging. He had also raped young males in Taiwan. So this is quite a shocker. He must be the John Gacy of Taiwan. Or the Randy Kraft. We have these people here in the United States, and of course, the media morons do their best to censor and suppress these stories, like they did with Brian Hennessy, who raped an 8-year-old boy in Sonoma County and tried to rape another 17-year-old Latino kid in Santa Clara County, and the kid killed him in the rape attempt. There was a forcible oral sex inflicted on this kid. Anyway, these things go on, and we're going to see more of this because I think people are getting tired of this agenda, crotch politics, as I call it. Now, we're coming up. We've been slow because I've been dealing with an injury, ouch, excuse me. So we will have that interview. It's planned for Captain Helmsberger and the Vienna Writing Academy. They were here in San Francisco, and that's when I interviewed them. Also, we will have some other things on horses. I did over the years, about 500 interviews, which dealt with everything from the White Seal controversy in Canada's Atlantic region. I did some interviews up in Canada, also a Cuban veterinarian, where we really get our McDonald's and Burger King really get their chief beef, would you believe it, from Asia. That's why it's so cheap. I did interviews with Dr. Michael Fox, the guy who did all the American Kennel Club Westminster broadcasts, Roger Karras, did interviews with him. Mel Belli and his pet pit bull. So a lot of these things I will be bringing up. Excuse me. And so we will be publicizing these things and broadcasting them also on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. Excuse me. So we will... And pretty early, I've still got this cold. I don't know what's causing it. So we will end with our usual politics and poker and go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. And we'll be back Friday at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time. Oh, just for the hell of it, let me just play the old humorous Will Rogers. He talks about politics and civilization, so we got a few minutes yet.
Let's get back from these political parties and get back to civilization, for there's nothing in common between politics and civilization. Ain't nothing in common between those two at all. As history has shown, the law does vary each succeeding civilization and buries them in accordance to the advancement of the people in that neighborhood. I feel proud that I come from that particular Middle West belt. The civilization had to be buried as it becomes advanced enough. Well, we feel proud that we're the ones to be plowed under first, that's all. In years to come, the archaeologists, we got that right. The archaeologists will dig and find Claremore, Oklahoma, and people will come there to the ruins and dig down and say, here lie the civilization. You know, Romans. Well, then later on they'll unearth the state capital, you know. And then eventually, as Washington is covered up on account of its being the least civilized, it'll be the last place covered up. They will excavate in there and find the old capital and decipher some of the old hieroglyphics, you know, that people of those days humorously call law, you know. They let the ceiling all there. And they'll come from the four corners. I bet they come from all over the whole country, four corners of the earth, to see what queer race lived there, you know. And they'll find places called banks where the money changes were, you know. Men who in those ancient days lived by interest alone.
Yeah, oh, we forgot one important birthday today, and since we are on a war footing, 1781, James Lawrence was born, and in the War of 1812, he uttered the famous statement, which is a model of the United States Navy, don't give up the ship. Now, in the War of 1812, Napoleonic Wars, there was also the famous British admiral, probably the most famous admiral in the British Navy, Horatio Nelson, actually was a vice admiral. And his flagship was called the Victory, and he defeated the French Navy at the Battle of the Nile and also at Trafalgar, but he was shot through the collarbone by a French sharpshooter who was in the rigging, and the captain of his ship, Captain Hardy, before Horatio Nelson was shot, he issued the order to all the ships in the fleet to send the signal, England expects every man to do his duty. And then the last thing, when he was shot and he was dying on the deck, he said to Hardy in his dying breath, kiss me, Hardy. And there was nothing homosexual about that. Horatio Nelson was a great admiral. And, of course, we had James Lawrence, and then the United States on Lake Erie would defeated the British fleet. So that's where that came from. And also on this day was the birthday of William Boeing, who started the Boeing Aircraft Company, which developed the B-17, the B-25, the 747, the B-29, all these famous jets, and has kept the United States aeronautical industry the primary supplier of planes. Even though the French have tried, and the Russians, nobody flies Russian jets but the Russians. Boeing is still preeminent among aircraft manufacturers throughout the entire world. One of the greatest pianists of all time, Vladimir Horowitz, was born in Kiev, Russia. And the first Chinese who was an American citizen, born in Hawaii, was also a banker, and a Republican, Hiram Fong. I was born. Walter Matthau, a great actor, his birthday. James Whitmore, who played Truman in several movies. And then we had two birthdays today. We had James Carter and also the prior Supreme Court Chief Justice, William Rehnquist. A guy who played Fiorello LaGuardia, Tom Bosley, his birthday. A guy who was born in South Africa, Lawrence Harvey. Two other actors, Richard Harris and Julie Andrews. And among the deaths, the famous anthropologist Louis Leakey, who did a lot of work in Africa, and General Curtis LeMay, getting back to World War II. He died on this day, and he was also a political animal who was the vice presidential candidate on the George Wallace ticket. So we'll end with our usual politics and poker. We'll be back Friday. I think I'll have all have my voice back.
Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Pony, up to you.
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen. Here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay.
I'm in.
Why are you thinking of Jack B or Jack Y?
I say, neither one. I never even met him.
I say, when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and poker, politics and poker. Shuffle up and cards and find the joker. Need a game for children, the game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet.
Where's the call of
love? All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say. Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run Al Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Playing for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Running neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
Paul Rizzola will be back Friday at 3:30. I hope I have my voice back. Pacific Standard Time, 3:30. And go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. Have a safe rest of the week. See you Friday.